This is Marketplace Tech. I'm Sabri Benishour, in for Ben Johnson. The UK is holding parliamentary elections next month, and we already know the winner. It's Facebook. Political parties in the UK spent about £1.4 million on digital media in their 2015 general election. This year, they're expected to spend a lot more, and most of it will likely go to Facebook. Rory Kethlen-Jones is a technology correspondent for our partner, the BBC. He joins me now from London. Rory, just how big a part is Facebook playing in these campaigns?
It's looking like it's going to be one of the prime tools for the political parties to try and reach and persuade voters in their direction. Just to put this in context, though, of course, spending in UK elections is on a much, much lower scale than in America. But but it is a big switch in where the parties are directing their money. They used to spend a lot on outdoor posters, on TV, and now a lot of that money is going towards Facebook.
It also sounds like the way in which Facebook is being used is changing. Can you explain how Facebook is being used differently?
The lessons are being learned from the United States, in particular from the Trump campaign. There's a feeling, certainly in the UK, that intense sort of data manipulation, as it were, was very useful to the Trump campaign. And the parties here are interested in those techniques. Can you use that sort of granularity of Facebook data to really craft your messages so they reach the right people at the right time? It has to be said, it's also already become quite a controversial matter. We've got an investigation going on in the UK right now by our data protection regulator about how data is used in political campaigns, partly because of how it may have been used in our referendum, our EU referendum campaign last year.
It was somehow misused or invading people's... What were the concerns?
Well, the concerns, just how much use of people's personal data is there. How personal does it get?
The way that the elections work in the UK and in the US make targeting of specific groups extra important.
Absolutely. Yeah. The parties know that, just as in the United States, you know, that you're only interested in the swing states. This is not really a battle being fought nationwide. It's being fought in a few key marginal constituencies. And Facebook allows you to direct your effort at the right people in the right place at the right time in a way that's never really been possible in other forms of advertising to date.
All right. Rory Kethlen-Jones is a technology correspondent for the BBC. Thank you, Rory. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know when you pass a construction site and you see a team of people working simultaneously on a building or a sewage pipe or whatever? We don't usually think about people working on documents that way, but it's becoming more common to have multiple people working on the same document or file at the same time using something like Google Docs. A company called Box has taken this technology to a commercial level, and it's releasing its earnings Wednesday. Rob Owens is an analyst with Pacific Crest. He covers Box, and he joins me now on the line.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Can you explain to us what Box does? It sounds sort of like a Dropbox and Google Drive combo. What does it do?
Box at its core is a secure file sharing and storage capability that allows an individual to secure, share, and edit all of your files from anywhere. So effectively, that content that you're creating, you can store that from home in the cloud, and then you can go to work or on your phone or to someone else's PC. And from a different system, you would have access to that content.
Now, of course, when you say Box uses the cloud, probably most people know what that means. But do you want to explain just what the cloud means?
Yeah. So data is always stored somewhere in some type of repository. For an individual, that's going to be on your phone or your computer. For a corporation, historically, that was in a data center on servers or in the back closet. And that back closet's effectively transitioned out to, quote unquote, the cloud or data centers that are located, you know, off premise that are accessible via the internet or via web or mobile.
For consumers who use companies that use cloud computing, what is more secure? Is it more secure to have your data locked up somewhere or have it on the cloud?
You know, most of the large web-based vendors or SaaS companies have tremendous security practices in place, as do large organizations. And, you know, a compromise of a large SaaS or hosting type of company could mean the demise of their brand, of their business. And so they take security very, very seriously. So if I had to put one in front, it would probably be those SaaS vendors themselves.
SaaS being?
Software as a service or cloud.
Rob Owens is an analyst with Pacific Crest Securities, which is owned by KeyBank. Thanks, Rob, so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
How do you like your robots? Perfect or human? That is the question in robot design these days. A company called Savioc is making robots for the hotel industry. They're being tested out at Chicago's EMC2 hotel. Tessa Lau is one of the people behind these robots, and she showed us one. She calls him Relay. Lau said they don't want him to be perfect because they want people to like him.
So we kind of consider hotels as a semi-hostile environment. You can't always control the environment. You can't always control the people or their level of sobriety. And so we've designed Relay to actually survive in that kind of environment. And one of the ways he does that is being polite and respectful. For example, if he gets stuck, he might ask someone to help him get to where he's going. And by leveraging people's innate compassion for other living beings, we're hoping that robots will be able to thrive in these kinds of environments.
Of course, he's not alive, he's a robot. But if we think he's alive, maybe drunk people will be less likely to kick him. There's a great story about this by Yana Kasperkevich at Marketplace.org. Check it out. I'm Sabri Benishour, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.